Blessed be your name, O God. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. As we settle down, O Lord, to hear your word, give us hearing ears. Give us listening ears. Open our hearts to receive your word. And let your name be glorified. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to have you in church this morning. It's good to be alive. It's good to be healthy. It's good to be well. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. This morning, I want to talk to us about understanding thankfulness. Understanding thankfulness. May God give us a spirit of thankfulness. Amen. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32, I will read from verse 1 to verse 12. Genesis chapter 32 from verse 1 to verse 12. I read. Are you with me? If you can't open it, you can follow it on the projector, on the screen. I will read from the English Standard Version. If you have the English Standard Version, it will be good you turn it on so that we all can be in one page. ESV, English Standard Version, Genesis chapter 32, verse 1. Okay, I read. Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's camp." So he called the name of the place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother in the land of Seir, the country of Edom, instructing them, "Thus you shall say to my lord Esau, thus says your servant Jacob, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed until now. I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, male servants, and female servants. I have sent to tell my lord in order that I may find favor in your sight." And the messengers returned to Jacob saying, "We came to your brother Esau, and he is coming to meet you. And there are 400 men with him." Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. He divided the people who were with him and the flocks and herds and camels into two camps, thinking, "If Esau comes to the one camp and attacks it, then the camp that is left will escape." And Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, 'Return to your country and to your kindred, that I may do you good,' I am not worthy of the least of all the deeds of steadfast love and all the faithfulness that you have shown to your servant. For with only my staff I crossed this Jordan, and now I have become two camps. Please deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him that he may come and attack me, the mothers with the children. But you said, 'I will surely do you good and make your offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude.' So he stayed there that night. And from what he had with him, he took a present for his brother, 200 female goats and 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. We all have been witnesses of how God in this year has been exceptionally gracious to us all. If there's nothing that this year has taught us, one thing I believe that this year has taught everyone, not just in Fountain of Living Waters, but the world over, is what can be called forced thankfulness or enforced thankfulness. And I'll explain. If you didn't know before now that there is a God in heaven, I believe that now you know. If you didn't know before now that there are plagues and pestilences that can just snuff people's lives away, now you know. If you didn't know all of this before, I believe that today you know. Now you know that somebody can just be going on his way and doing his own thing, and from nowhere can catch a disease that he did not see coming. If we didn't know that before, now we know. The world in this year 2020 was forced to accept the reality of something that they could not help. That nations that are mighty and powerful could do nothing about. And Jacob falls into the category of people who came into the reality of something they never knew before. Jacob, by nature, was a man that can be described as a can-do man, a Mr. Fix-It. And you know that there are so many Christians like that. He doesn't pray. He just knows what to do in every situation. If he had his eyes on the bed right, he knew exactly what to do to get that bet right. He strategized for it. He knew his brother very well, Esau. He knew how hungry his brother could be and how uncontrollable his appetite can sometimes be. You know, there are people like that. When they are hungry, they can tear anywhere down. I have a cousin like that. When she's hungry, it doesn't matter whether it was food meant for five people and the other people have nothing else to eat. She will eat it and then say sorry after. That was the kind of person Esau, his brother, was, and Jacob knew. He knew that Esau likes porridge. And he knew that Esau liked porridge that is made with tatashe. Porridge that is red. He knew. And he waited for the day that Esau would be very hungry. And then he prepared this porridge and made sure that the aroma filled the house. And that day came, Esau came and said to him, "Bro, please give me some porridge to eat. I'm very hungry." And I'm sure Jacob would have said to him, "Ah, bros, it's not that easy, oh. This porridge that I made, I want to pack it for my lunch, so I can't give you any of it." And I reckon Esau may have said something like, "Ah, Jakey, please just give me to eat. I've just come from the farm. After I finish eating, I will make my own and you can take my own for lunch. And Jacob would have said to him, if that is the case, you have to give me your birthright too. Esau would have said, man no die, man no rotten. Just give me a bag, take birthright. Of what use is it to me? If I die, what will birthright do for me? I beg, take and give me porridge. Jacob was a man who worked things out by himself. And for him to now get the blessing of Isaac, he also worked it out. Because the Bible tells us that Isaac was a hairy man. And Jacob was a smooth-skinned man. So what did he do? He figured it out with his mother. They strategized. They said, go and kill that goat. And we will put the skin of the goat on your hand. Because your father cannot see. So when you come before your father, I know he may want to feel your hand. But Isaac himself was an interesting man. I thought the skin of animals is different from the skin of human beings. Now, wow. Anyway, they strategized. They worked it out. And he came to his father, Isaac. And what did Isaac do? Isaac transferred the blessing that was originally, or that he had prepared for Isaac, to his... So, did I say Isaac? To Esau. God bless you. Thank you. It shows you are following. The blessing that he had prepared for Esau as a firstborn, he transferred it to... Have I been saying Isaac since? Ah, God help me. He transferred the blessing to Jacob. Okay. Now, the amazing thing about this story of Jacob is that all that scheming that he schemed was really not necessary. Why do I say it wasn't necessary? Because the prophecy had already gone forth that the elder will serve the younger. And that is what happens when we try to scheme our way into things that God has already made provision for. But because of Jacob's nature, he just couldn't stop but to work things out for himself. And next, Jacob went to Laban. He goes to Laban. As he got to Laban's house, he took one look at the two daughters of Laban, the two girls. And immediately, he knew the one he wanted just by sight, not by prayers. And he said to Laban, I will serve you for 7 years if you will give your daughter Rachel to me. And he served Laban for 7 years. The Bible tells us that those 7 years were but just like a few weeks. Why? Because of the passion that he had for Rachel. And on the wedding night, Laban played a trick on him. What did he do? He switched the girls. And again, just like his father, just like Jacob's father, like son, he could not tell the difference between Leah and Rachel. He could not tell the difference between the one he loved and the one he loathed. When he woke up and realized that they had, as we say it here, they had caught him mugu. He screamed. And the man said, don't worry. Nothing spoiled. All you need to do, serve me for another 7 years. And I will give you, Rachel, your heart's desire. As they say, koniman die, koniman bury him. Whatsoever a man sows, he will also reap. But you see, the mystery of that relationship was that the covenant was actually running through Leah and not Rachel. The very one he rejected was the one that the covenant was running through. Why? Because Rachel was an idolatrous woman. Oh, you remember now when they left the house of Laban? She hid the idol under her. And as a result of that, she was visited with an untimely death because Jacob unknowingly placed a curse on her. Read your Bible, though. I hope you are following me. Only a few people are nodding their head. Because if you haven't read your Bible, you won't understand what I'm saying. Are you following me? Good. And you see, these are the things that exposes the schemes of men. That you can scheme and scheme and then scheme yourself out of what God wants for you. What God wanted for Jacob was Leah and not Rachel. Again, when it came to his wages, of course, it wasn't in Jacob's nature to wait for what will come to him, whether his sheep will be plain or whether his sheep will be streaked. No. He had to work it out with his stick. And this is how, interestingly, some of us are. We never want to leave things to God to work out for us. We never want to leave things to chance. We always want to work them out for ourselves. Not that there's anything really wrong with working things out. But things are wrong when you work things out and leave God out of it. The story continues. Jacob wanted to go. He wanted to become independent. And what did he do? He planned his exit. He strategized his exit to leave and outsmarted Laban. Of course, Laban on the other side did not want Jacob to go, because Laban himself had confessed to Jacob that because of you, God has blessed me. So, Jacob planned his exit and escaped in the cover of the night. And Laban discovered. But in his discovery, he had a dream where God appeared to him and said, "You are going to meet with Jacob. When you meet with him, neither do him good." Laban pursued Jacob, pursued him and caught up with him. And Laban told him that I had meant to do you harm. I had meant to do you evil for this thing you have done. But God appeared to me and said I should not do you evil. You see, in this situation, who saved Jacob? God. God bless you. God saved Jacob. Because he went on a suicidal mission. Laban would have exterminated him. Because he did not seek God's face, but God intervened in his situation. And God. So we see in the story of Jacob, God protecting him, God shielding him, God guiding him on every step, just for one reason, in order to keep him in the covenant. And now, before the final lap of him getting into Canaan, he had to face Esau, his greatest fear. He had already figured out what he needed to do. And what did he do? He sent him presents. Presents he felt that his brother Esau could not refuse. Jacob was the kind of man who believed that every man has a price. You know, there are people like that. I pray you don't work for bosses like that, who believe that every man has a price. Jacob must have been a very wealthy man. we are told that he sent Esau 200 goats, 200 ewes. Can you imagine 200 goats? Can you imagine 200 goats inside here? Anyone who has that to give out, imagine what he has left. He must have been a very wealthy man. He sent him 200 goats. Then sent some of his servants ahead to gauge the mood of Esau, his brother. And these 200 servants came back to him and said, "Yes, so we saw your brother Esau. We saw him. But he himself is coming with what? 400 men. 400 guards." I like that First Bank advert. Bank pass bank. Man pass man. For once in his life, Jacob came across someone who passed him. Okay, let me speak it in English. He came across a man who passed him, who surpassed him, who was greater than him. At this point, I would imagine Jacob's knees began to quake. The scripture tells us that fear came upon Jacob. He probably felt that, I cannot be twice lucky. I escaped from Laban, even though I did him wrong. God intervened. This time around, with 400 guards, it may be difficult to escape this. The Bible says that the guilty flee when no man pursues him. He remembered how Laban had wanted to harm him, and how he schemed him. And now he remembered how he had stolen Esau, his brother's birthright, who probably to his hearing had sworn that I would get back at you. He remembered all that, and fear came upon him. He panicked seriously, because he all of a sudden was up against something that he could not match. Are you following me, church? 200 goats against 400 guards. If Esau is really out for vengeance, he must have said to himself, "I'm done for. I'm finished. This will be disastrous." However, brethren, through this experience, Jacob gave us one of the greatest prayers and revelation of thanksgiving. If you look at Genesis 32, you may not see it, but it is right there. And I read it. Genesis 32, I will read from verse 9 for proper context. Genesis 32, verse 9 and verse 10. "And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, O Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your kindred, that I may do you good." Verse 10. "I am not worthy. I am not worthy." Brethren, unless you realize that you are not worthy, you realize that you are not better than any person who has been carried away this year by the pandemic. Until you realize that you are not better, you are not taller, you are not holier, you are not more righteous, you are not more prayerful than the people who have gone this year. And trust me, I don't know about you. Indeed, a lot have passed on this year, whether by COVID or not. I always say that there's something about leap years. A lot have passed on this year. But until you realize that you are not better than them, you may not be able to offer thanksgiving in the proper way to God. The greatest thanksgiving is the understanding, the acceptance of the awesome grace of God, the mercy of God upon your life, is the greatest thanksgiving. Understanding that where you are today is as a result of undeserved favor. Until you come to that point, you may never be able to offer an acceptable thanksgiving to God. Sometime, I think, in the last few months, Dr. Okeonuzo was giving a testimony. He has a kidney dialysis clinic in Ikeja. And there was this patient who had contracted COVID that they were treating for 3 weeks, and he did not know what happened. This was his patient who was going through kidney dialysis. But this patient now had to go to somewhere for some other things. And I think it was another hospital for some other things. And that hospital saw certain things in him that were indicative of perhaps the existence of COVID in him. And they sent him to go and do a test. And he went to do the COVID test. And in the laboratory where he did the test, they said to him that when the result comes out, if you are COVID positive, we will let you know. But if you do not hear from us, it means you are negative. And so he did not hear from them. And he assumed that he was negative and was coming for his kidney dialysis. And he now had to, for one reason, go back to that place where they sent him to go and do the test. And when he went there, I think it's another specialist hospital, they observed that the things he was manifesting were clear indication that this guy had COVID. And they said to him, what of the test you went to do? Did you bring the results? He said, oh, they told me that if I have COVID, if I'm positive, they will tell me. But if I'm not, and I don't hear from them, that means I don't have it. He said, call them and call for the results. And he called for the results. Lo and behold, human beings. The person who was meant to inform him that he was COVID positive dropped the ball, forgot, and did not call him. So all of the while he was being treated in Dr. Keonuzo's clinic, he was COVID positive. So they called Dr. Keonuzo to say, that man you have been treating is COVID positive. So Dr. Keonuzo now had to tell the man to go and do another test negative. But the point is this, all of them in that clinic now had to do what? To go and test for COVID. And all of them were negative. What is the moral of the story? All the while, they were treating a COVID patient, putting hand in their nose, touching their eyes and all that. They did not know, but the grace and the mercy of God kept them. I share this story, and I'm sure each one of us has a story. How, years back, as a young adult, We travel to my village. When we go, my father's house, because we don't live in the village, we lived in, where were we living then? I think we were living in Benin or somewhere there, I can't remember. But we travel to the village. And when we go, we have to clean up, dust the house. Which, of course, I and my brothers had to do. I dusted, washed the rag, and went to the back of the house, the staircase, to hang the rag. As I was hanging the rag, just about 6 meters away from me, was a cobra standing and set. What stopped the cobra from stinging? I saw it. I wasn't a Christian there. I'm not saying that even now that I'm a Christian, I will stand. But within the flash of an eye, you know, if you watch cartoon, there's a way they draw it, zap. I disappeared. But is it because I ran? All the while I was hanging that rag that I didn't see it. In fact, it was the sound it made that made me realize that there was something there. At another time, when we were living in Saple, another time, I was standing by the flower. We had lots of flowers in my house. And I think it was my mom that was going out and wanted to give me an instruction. So I stood. And the next thing I heard was, I looked like this, was spit. What was that? A snake. What stopped the snake from biting me? The grace and the mercy of God. If you think, if God showed you a video of how many times you missed death this year, you will know that it is the mercy and the grace of God that has kept you. When you were unaware of the danger that confronted you, God kept you. God preserved you. God protected you. God saved you. And that was what Jacob, all of a sudden, came to realize. He came to realize that where I am, I have schemed all my life. I have tried to work things out by my hand. But all of them were actually nothing compared to the grace and to the mercy of God upon my life. It is important that every one of us gets a revelation of the mercy of God. Have confidence in the mercy of God for your life. It is important we have this confidence. Why? Because the mercy of God is what qualifies the unqualifiable. No matter who you are or where you are, once you come under mercy or under the grace of God, you automatically qualify. So Jacob understood the mercy of God when he said, I am not worthy of the least of steadfast love and faithfulness that you have shown me, your servant. Brethren, when you realize, oh Lord, if not for your grace, where will I be? Then you will have the humility to say, I am most undeserving. Can I leave a word with you for 2020? God does not like entitlement. You are not where you are today because you are entitled. And you will not be where God can take you to because you feel entitled. It is just the mercy and the grace of God. If you consider yourself successful, trust me, there are people who work 10 times as hard. There are people who are 10 times smarter, but they are not where you are. It is the mercy and the grace of God. It is the gratitude of men and women who have come to realize how much danger there is in life, seen or unseen. When you have come to that point of gratitude, it is indicative of the fact that you have come to know that you are not better than anyone. You come to know that you are just a beneficiary of God's awesome grace and mercy. The psalmist also realized this when he said in Psalm 91, Psalm 91, I'll read from verse 3 to verse 8. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Brother, sister, that is God's covenant for you. You are standing here today not because of how careful you are, how masked you are, how precautious you are. It is not because of that. Wear your mask, take precautions, but it's the mercy and the grace of God. People who have had the best protocols have contracted the virus, but you have not. It is the mercy and the grace of God. The mercy of God has kept you to today, December. December what? 13 or 12? December 13, 2020. The mercy of God will see you to the end of this year. The mercy of God will take you into 2021. The mercy of God will take you into many more years to come. In the name of Jesus. Mercy has said no concerning the plans of the enemy. The mercy of God will lift you up. You will be who God has created you to be. It may not look so now, but the mercy of God will carry you. God, who started a work, is more than able to complete it in your life. In the name of Jesus. But I want us to understand this before we go, that there is always a snare. He said here, for he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Do you know what this greatest snare is? It is the enemy that always conspires to make you and I to offend God. That is the greatest snare. Yes. The enemy lays traps for us on a daily basis, and I need you to be aware of this. He lays traps for us, for you to do the wrong thing, for you to say the wrong thing, for you to go to the wrong place. Why? So that accusations can be laid on you. Church, are you listening? That's what Balak thought Balaam. Balak said to Balaam, you see these people, they are blessed. And once they are blessed and favored, a curse cannot come upon them. But let me tell you something. There are beautiful girls in the land. If only you can make those girls wear miniskirts, micro miniskirts, and they see them, and they fornicate with them, the cover over them will be lifted. That cover that God has placed upon them will do what? Will evaporate. And that's why Every one of us needs to be vigilant, because the enemy is always, I repeat, always looking for ways to trip us up, to make us fall. And that's why Jesus did not tell us only to pray. Jesus said what? Watch and pray. Shine your eyes. Be vigilant. Be aware of everything around you, because everything has been carefully placed and set up by the devil to do what? To trip you up. And the enemy knows that nothing can be done to a man under the favor of God unless he himself breaks his cover and falls for a trap. Are you listening to me? Do not take the cover of God upon your life for granted. And we know of the awesome nature of the cover of God that God has provided for us all. And that is why this morning we are so grateful. That is why we are grateful. And that cover is revealed to us, as I close, in Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1, verse 9. Job chapter 1, verse 9 and verse 10. I read. Job chapter 1, verse 9. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge, a protection around him and his house and all that he has on every side?" Not on some sides, on every round about him. "You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land." Satan was saying to God, "This man is secure. This man is secure because you have put your hedge of protection round about him." Was Satan able to touch Job? No. He could only touch Job with the permission of God, until God granted him that permission. He could do nothing. All he could do was complain to God. This man is bouncing. He's bouncing. He's going with, how did they say it? He's going with a swag. God bless you. The reason why he has a swag is because you have protected him. That revelation came from the devil. That's why when sometimes say, but certain prophets who we know are not true men of God, their prophecy was true. Sometimes the devil tells us the truth. Why? Because this revelation of God's protection over God's children came from the devil. God protects every one of us. Shine your eyes. If God puts a hedge, there's nothing the devil can do. Because by the law of creation, I repeat, by the law of creation, it is the Almighty God that sets the boundaries. Jacob finally realized that life is lived by grace, and grace alone. If you are somebody who in previous years up till now, you are so used to working things out for yourself, you think you have brain, desist from it. God gave you brain, but the brain is for you to use it and rely on the grace of God. Is it not this year that somebody said, we saw corpses in Africa, corpses lying about? Is it not this year? That may not have been a false prophecy, but was the grace. If in one day, a country has 3,000 and over dead because of a virus. More than we have had since April to now. Doesn't that tell you that it's the mercy and grace of God? There's nothing we did for this not to come to pass other than God has been merciful. And I close. This is why I want you to join me this morning for maybe 2 minutes, maybe 3 minutes. I don't know. But let it be from the depth of your hearts. I want you to join me and the psalmist in saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Can we rise to our feet? I want you to bless the Lord with all that is within you. David had a habit of speaking to himself. At a point he said, why are you so downcast, my soul? God has done so much for you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I want you to lift up your hands this morning and think of the benefits that God has provided for you this year. The good things that God has done. God's saving grace upon your life. How you have missed death uncountable times. How God has guided you through your choices. How God has preserved you up to this point. How God has kept you, has kept your family. How God has provided for you. How God has lifted you up. I want you to thank God. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord. Your kindness. Father, we are confident of this one thing, that we are leaving this place this morning with an understanding of thankfulness. Understanding that all of this while, we have lived our lives by grace and by grace alone. We are not worthy of your kindness, of your faithfulness, of your love, but Lord God, you chose to be kind to us, to be merciful to us, to be gracious to us. And for this, oh God, we lift up our hands and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your benefits. Thank you for the great things you have done in our lives. Thank you for our families. Thank you for the choices we have made. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for guiding us. Thank you for helping us. Lord, we bless you. Accept our thanks, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, we are confident that you who has carried us this far will see us to the very end of this year and will bring us in victory into 2021 and to many, many, many more years to come. Father, we bless you from the depths of our hearts this morning. As a church, we say thank you. Thank you for us present here. Thank you for those who are not able to be in church today. But as the Fountain of Living Waters family, Lord God, we say what?
Thank you.
Blessed be your name, O God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have thanked. Amen. Hallelujah. Please. I like that song. But let me just say this. When you come before God, please take away the mentality of entitlement and ask God to put upon you a spirit of gratitude. One of the things I know about Lagos and perhaps other parts of the world is that Lagos is a leveler. No matter how beautiful or handsome you think you are, no matter how connected you think you are, no matter how wealthy you think you are, there's always someone who's better than you. And there are people who are not as fortunate as you. Is the grace of God. Carry that attitude and you will see the best of God in your life. Father, we thank you for today. As we go to our homes, we go edified and strengthened in the inner man, appreciating you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy over our lives. We thank you for the miracles of time past. We know that you who did it before can do it again. Our eyes look up to you, O Lord, because our help comes from you. Today, we step out of this place with a garment of thanksgiving upon each one of us. For the rest of our days and our lives, Lord God, we'll make it a point to thank you and to appreciate you. Regardless of wherever we find ourselves in lives. Why? Because we know, just like Jacob, that you will do us good. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name. We declare to ourselves this morning that it is well with us. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all of the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you. The Lord protect you. The Lord smile on you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord show you his favor and grant you his peace in every area of life. The peace of God go with you all. In Jesus' name, amen.